before Brother Jeffco comes and preaches for us, I did want young people, they can head back to junior church and appreciate that he's doing that and very grateful for that. Aren't you glad for the young people that are here that can go to that? I am. I'm excited for them. I did want to announce, and we can't announce every blessing, every prayer request, but I did want to say, if you're not aware, the Heaths were given the go-ahead to officially do the adoption on Izzy. And that has been a long and arduous process. One of the things, and I've said it publicly, one of the things we hear from those who are pro-killing babies is, well, what about adoption? The Christians aren't, Christians who are against abortion aren't trying to adopt. That's not true. They have just made it so expensive and so difficult. And just all the hoops that have to be jumped through are just ridiculous. I believe in extreme and thorough background checks. Extreme, as we found this, well, homosexual couple, that's a oxymoron, all down in Florida, abused these boys. You know, clearly enough work wasn't done. But the truth is that I believe in extreme background checks. But once that's done, you know, you've got to streamline the process. And what we've seen is just the opposite. It's clogged, but we're rejoicing a lot. Listen, I know a lot of us in here have prayed, and we're very grateful for the Lord opening that door. And really, based on the timing of that, that could resolve any other issues that have come up legally. Once the adoption is done, that should really end a lot of other nonsense that's been going on. So we're very grateful. We're very grateful for that. I'm also grateful to see Kurt back here today. Now, he was here Wednesday night, but after his surgery. And certainly you want to continue to pray for Ray Mays. Most of you know he's dealing with fourth stage cancer in three different places, and he's home on hospice care. And I'll be going to see him probably tomorrow. So we have blessings and we have needs. And that's always the way life is, isn't it? Well, if you were here in the Sunday school hour, I don't know about you, but I got to be honest. My heart was stirred by the things I heard. And the way that, so many people in this world that haven't heard the gospel, and trying to get to them has just been one challenge after another. And I'm so thankful for a family like the Jeffcoats who are dedicated to reaching these dear souls. Their souls are no less valuable than those here in America. And yet we need to reach those who are here. I said in Sunday school, one of the things that just stood out to me yesterday, I picked a certain road here in the area, and knocked on a few doors and hit a few no trespassing signs, as is in Surrey County a lot. But and I just thought how easy it was for me to knock on those doors and invite people to church or leave a track in the door. No such thing in India. And so I'm so excited. I don't want to take your time, Brother Jeffcoat. So why don't you come on up here and preach for us. Let's give Brother William Jeffcoat a good hand as he comes and preaches for us.
It's a great joy to be with you. I enjoyed the Sunday school hour. The time of being able to share my heart and to take a few questions. And whatever curiosities or intrigue that you might have, the questions weren't limited to just the Sunday school hour. I hope you'll come up to us after the service. We've enjoyed the fellowship, and we love talking about that part of the world that the Lord has made so very dear unto our hearts. For these past 25 years, we've had the privilege of going into India, laboring in a country that's closed to missionary endeavor, at least any missionary endeavor that is announced to be such. I'm glad, though, that God still opens the doors that men call closed. Your pastor, Brother Cashman, has been a dear friend. His family, they've been such sweet friends to us through the years. He has made effort to encourage me at different occasions. Two in particular come to my mind. I was pastoring in Dover, Delaware for a little while and making the transition of focusing our attention fully upon India and international efforts. And in that moment of transition, Brother Cashman, your pastor, he made an effort to be an encouragement to me and let me know that I had a friend that was standing close by. Another occasion, when my family was going through a time of crisis, we all face our valleys and battles. Preachers and their families are not immune to heartache. And it was in such a time that Brother Cashman again made an effort to be an encouragement to me. I appreciate such friends as that. I cherish my friends. But as much as he's been an encouragement to me, he has never given me a greater honor than in those moments when he has allowed me to preach in the church where he pastors this morning to be with you. Thank you, brother. Thank you so very much. I invite you to turn with me, please, in the Word of God to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts, chapter 16. For me, this is, as I told the Sunday school class, not a commercial. This is part of our vision. We have focused on nations on the other side of the world, but we're reminded of the neighbors that surround us on all sides. So many Indian people from that country who cross our paths, maybe at a gas station, a hotel, sometimes a donut shop, maybe the mall. But we need to make some effort to share Christ with those that God has brought to our side of the world. Some years ago, I wrote a book entitled Tales from India, Truths from Heaven. I took the stories from their culture and from their history, combined those stories with Scripture, using them as parables, of course, to share the most wonderful story of all. And so we called it Tales from India, Truths from Heaven. The sword of the Lord published this for me some years ago, allowed me to keep the print rights, enabling us to publish this in one language after another in India and in the country of Myanmar, Burma. But in this book, we take a person step by step, truth by truth, reminding them of the existence of God, telling him of God's heart for humanity, and at last introducing that soul to our Savior, bringing them to the point of making a decision. This book is intended for a person who perhaps does not believe in God or never heard of the name of Jesus Christ. And it's been so well received by the Indian people. Oftentimes I'll make an effort to give to somebody here in America that's come from India, and they urge me to let them pay for it. And I say to them, I say, no, I let my other American friends pay for the book. It's a gift to my Indian friends. And then, of course, they appreciate that very much, you know. And this morning we make these available. But I only ask $5 each for these. This is a page about 140-something pages. If you would be interested, just ask $5 for these. But please do take one of our prayer cards and pray for us. I'm going to ask my wife to stand. You ladies met her yesterday at the fellowship. But I urge you, as I urge the Sunday school class this morning, make a special effort to speak to her. The pastor was teasing at different moments this morning, speaking of my wife and speaking so highly of her and somewhat humbling me. But I'm quick to tell you, please meet my wife. You'll like her much better than me. I hope you'll get a chance to spend a few moments with her. With our Bibles open, the Word of God, to the book of Acts, chapter 16. If you're able, I invite you to stand together with me, please. Standing together, shall we, if you are able. We find Paul and Silas in the midst of their missionary journey. As we begin reading in verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden to the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with the straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege of gathering together, having such liberty that so many around the world do not enjoy. Lord, I pray that you would convict our hearts, that we might be faithful in this day, in this hour, knowing that the time which remains seems to be so very short. We pray, Father, that you would stir us and cause us to realize that what we will do, we must do now. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The Apostle Paul had thought to go one direction or the other. God suffered him not. The Holy Spirit forbade him. He found himself in a city called Troas, longing to go into Bithynia, into Asia. He finds himself in Troas, uncertain as to where God might allow him to venture next. I want you to think first of the pitiful cries from the darkness. Consider the vision, that vision at Troas in the darkness of night, His slumber interrupted. Paul saw a man of Macedonia calling to him. Think of the pitiful cries from the darkness. The man of Macedonia called to him and said, "Come over and help us." Oh, that God would touch these ears of ours, that we might hear those pitiful cries from the darkness. Do you not hear? Even now? Are we so deafened by the world around us, so distracted? Oh, that we might hear the pitiful cries from the darkness. He said, "Come over and help us." I wonder to myself, as Paul ventured forth, if he did not time and time again scan his audience, looking at each face, longing for the moment when he would meet that individual. I personally believe, I honestly believe, that moment came when Paul, one day as he was preaching, saw that individual, yes, who represented a multitude of people. But I think that the day came when one day they met each other, no doubt with a tender embrace. Listen to the pitiful cries from the darkness. Think of the vision as he called Paul in the night and said, "Come over and help us." Think not only of the vision, think of the supplication. A voice is cast across the dark waters. Paul and Silas venturing to those shores, I think, must have been quite delightfully surprised to discover that they would have the privilege to interrupt a prayer meeting. Now, in one city after another, it had been Paul's custom to enter into the synagogues and meet with people. But now, he goes to the riverside, and there's a band of women. In some communities, there was not a large enough Jewish population for there to be a synagogue. At this place, there on the riverbank, a group of late, we don't know how many, we don't know how often, but they lifted their voice in prayer. I have no doubt that in prayer, cherishing the truth they had in prayer, they cried out that God would give more truth. And one day, Paul interrupted their prayer meeting. I think about the vision. I think about the supplication. Do you not find yourself so oftentimes amazed at the ways that God reaches into the shadows and tenders the hearts of men? I've had the privilege of going into one country after another. It's close to the gospel, but I say again, I'm glad that the Lord still opens the doors that men call closed. Entering into such countries, we have to be very careful how we introduce ourselves, the questions that we answer. I had just arrived in India. I had endured another very pressing interrogation, feeling the suspicious eyes focused upon me as he at last, the immigration officer, allowed me entrance. But stepping then into the welcoming hall of the airport, a man approaches me. I'm thinking to myself, he is trying to talk this American, he supposes, businessman to ride in his air-conditioned taxi. He approaches me, but as he gets closer, that man, he looks this direction, and then he looks that direction. I don't know what's making him nervous or who he's looking for, but when he looks this and then he looks that, by instinct, I look this direction, and then I look that direction. I don't know who we're looking for. I wouldn't recognize him if I saw him. I'm quite sure. But I look this, and then I look that, and then he approaches me. He looks me in the eyes, and he says, "Sir, welcome to India. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior?" Never ceases to be amazed how that God will reach in the shadows and tender the hearts of men. I think about this supplication. This voice cries across the way, "Come over and help us." And Paul and Silas, they arrive. They interrupt a prayer meeting there on the riverbank where a band of ladies has lifted their voices. Think about this. Can you not hear the pitiful cries from the darkness? Who's to say that even at this moment that some soul in the dark jungles of Africa does not lift their eyes to the heavens and sees the stars that are strewn across that celestial masterpiece, thinking to themselves as they look at the painting that covers over, thinking there must be an art, there must be a creator, someone. I want to meet that someone who made all that is. Who's to say that a person does not, walking along the path in that same jungle, look down upon the delicate flower and think to themselves, somebody painted the colors on every petal. Who's to say that a voice does not lift even in the shadows? Even, can you not hear the pitiful cries from the darkness? Who's to say in this moment that someone does not curse the darkness as they beg for the light? A little girl in India was brought forward by the village elders, being told that it was her honor to be married to the God they worshipped. This little girl brought forward for her marriage ceremony was on that day being honored, as she was told, to be married to the God. On that day, she was wed to a dog. Who's to say at this moment that there is not a voice in the dark that does not curse the darkness and beg for thy? Can you not hear the pitiful cries from the darkness? A little girl had died in this Hindu home. The doctor had been careless in his administration of the anesthesia. The little girl, she never awakened from her slumber. I went to visit that Hindu family. The little girl, she had been a student of the Christian school. And I'll never forget watching the Hindus as they approached the house, crying out with that unearthly wail of absolute hopelessness, tearing the hair from their scalp and throwing their bodies on the ground until you could hear the thud as their head made impact. I saw the mother beside the lifeless body of her daughter, crying out words that I did not understand. My friend that sat next to me, he interpreted. He said, "She is cursing her gods." He said, "She is telling them, you have eyes to see and you see nothing, a mouth to speak and you say nothing, hands you have and you do nothing." Oh, the chills I felt as I heard this pagan woman curse her gods with words I've read so many times before in the pages of Scripture, now uttered by a woman who had never touched the Bible. Do they not even now, in the darkness, curse the shadows and beg for the light? Before I left India, we went by that home again. That mother who so oftentimes had told her daughter when she'd come home from the Christian school, and she would sing those songs that her mother said, those are the Jesus songs. And then her mother, she'd turn on the television or she would play a certain music, and she would say, these are the songs of our people. You sing the... She'd play those heathen melodies. She said, you sing our... Not the Jesus songs. Sing our songs. After that little girl had died, we stopped by there at the home one last time before I left India. The mother stood there with the remaining child at her side, and she said to me, through an interpreter, she said, I pray that my child who remains will grow up singing the Jesus songs. Who can say? But even now, a voice is not crying out, cursing the darkness and begging for the... Do you not hear the pitiful cries from the darkness? We do not, my friend, want to be alarmed by the thought that the darkness so oftentimes lies much closer than we want to admit. It was some years ago that I first met this man. A man who, before he came to know Christ as his Savior, lived such a wicked life they called him Hitler. And he was very proud of that title. In fact, to this day, I don't know his real name. I called him Brother Hitler. They say that when Brother Hitler got baptized, that the folks from the surrounding hollows and across the ridges in the western mountains of Virginia, how that they gathered there on the riverbank. You would too if you heard Hitler was getting baptized. I wasn't there. I wasn't there when Hitler was baptized. I wasn't there when he received, but I was there when his wife got saved, because I had the privilege of leading her to the Lord. A gentleman said to me, he said, preacher, I am so concerned for Mrs. Hitler. I'm so concerned for that dear woman. Could we go and visit with her? I'll never forget somehow following those curvy roads that led back to a place that I couldn't find today if I had to. And we walked up to the porch and she answered the door. I'll never forget how she greeted us. She looked at me and she said, how could you know? How could you know? She said, I cried out in the shadows and I said, God, if it's real, please send somebody to tell me. I said, here we are. Who's to say at this moment, my friend, that a soul does not cry out and those shadows lie much closer than what you realize? I think about the vision. I think about the supplication. I think about the desperation. Paul heard this voice cast across, come over and help us. They interrupt a prayer meeting. A dear woman receives Christ as her Savior. Lydia embraces the truth of the gospel. Afterwards, a demon-possessed woman pursues them to the street. The demon being cast forth, the preachers are cast into jail. Think of the desperation as during those moments the jailer stumbles into the darkness, thinking that certainly because of the earthquake and the doors being thrown open that the prisoners have escaped. And Paul said, we are all here, do thyself no harm. The Bible tells us he had already drawn his sword, intending to take his own life. I don't know how close that blade had come to his flesh. I don't know if he had already frayed the threads of his... I don't know if he left a scratch on his... I don't know, but I do know. As close as might come the sword of desperation, my friend, yet there is hope. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. My friend, however close at this moment you are to the threshold of death, but yet there is hope if you'll only look to Christ even amidst the shadows. A young man had attempted suicide, not once, but three times. One time, the penknife, when he made the attempt, the blade broke. Another time, he tried to hang himself from the bed frame, but the frame collapsed. The last time, he hung himself from the threshold of a door. Though he lost consciousness, the rope broke and he survived. He found himself all the more miserable because he couldn't even take his own life. But that man, one day being saved by the grace of God, penned those wonderful words we so oftentimes sing. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. My friend, William Cowper would tell you, yet there is hope, even in the darkest of shadows, if you will but turn your eyes to him. Do you not hear the pitiful cries from the darkness? My friend, will you not also see the piercing light of the gospel? It was in the darkness of night that Paul saw the vision of men of Macedonia calling to him. In the darkness of night, the voice was cast across the waves. And despite those few moments on the sunny riverbank, the shadows quickly fell across the city as a demon-possessed woman pursued after them to the streets. He finds himself with Silas in a dungeon cell. And it was at midnight that they lift their voice and sang the praises of God. May I remind you that the midnight hour is not the darkest time of the night. It gets darker. And the midnight hour is that moment when you know it's going to get darker if God doesn't do something. It was then that they lifted their voice and they sang praise. And see how that light shined. As they sang praises at the midnight hour, the earth begins to shake. The shackles fall from their limbs. The doors open. The Philippian jailer, thinking that all the prisoners, surely they have fled, he takes the sword and would have killed himself. But Paul cries him and said, do thyself no harm. We are all here. But now the Philippian jailer, he stumbles through the darkness and he calls for a light. Oh, the light that lit not only the dark corners of that dungeon cell, but that light that shined deep into his soul. He asked, what must I do to be saved? And the answer came back in reply, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Please hear me this morning. Perhaps every one of us at times would think to ourselves, I would have liked to have been in that meeting on the sunny riverbank when the breeze was gently blowing and the flowers in such colorful array were making their curtsy every time the wind touched their petals. I would have liked to have been there on that sunny riverbank. But I tell you, dear friend, the gospel message was no less powerful in the darkness of a dungeon as it was on the sunny riverbank. Sometimes we find ourselves saying, I would have liked to have lived in Spurgeon's day and sat on the sunny riverbank and heard that preacher declare with such eloquence the Word of God. But I tell you, different, no matter how dark the shadows may get which gather around about us, the gospel message is no less powerful in the darkest shadows than it was on a sunny riverbank. See how that light shined. And see how that light spread. See how it spread. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thine house. My friend, when somebody receives the gospel message, there's no telling how far that light's going to spread. I'm always thrilled when the children, they leave out for junior church. I was a bus kid. I still can't keep from running around. I was a bus kid. I tell folks, I used to be one of those kids running all over the church. Now God's let me run all over the world. And I'll tell you, I'm still amazed at how that light shined and spread through my own family. How that pretty soon my dad had his own bus route, and for some years he was the bus director in Savannah, Georgia, at Bible Baptist Church for Cecil. I'm telling you, the light that shines is quick to spread. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thine house. Lydia, she had first received Christ upon their arrival. Lydia, such an interesting name. I told folks in Sunday school class this morning, I've always enjoyed when somebody would ask, where are you from? Where's your family from? And I tell them my family is from a little town called North South Carolina. I told the Sunday school, I have a lot of fun with that. Lydia could have had almost as much fun. You could have asked her, what is your name? She'd say, Lydia, where are you from? And she could have said, Lydia. You see, Lydia was not only a person's name, but the name Lydia represented a multitude of people. It was the name of an ancient civilization. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. Paul had wanted to go this direction and that direction. My friend Lydia was from the very region where Paul wanted to go. I have no doubt that there must have been occasions in the future when Lydia would go back to her hometown, this seller of purple, and I could hear her conversing with her friends and saying to them, let me tell you of someone else who wore a robe of purple. Speaking to these of Thyatira, a city that was made for the manufacture of such dye and such garments, I can hear her saying to each one, who's to say that my hands did not make that robe or your hands made that? Who's to say? Well, I tell you, dear friend, I can say, when I think of his suffering, not only the robe, but the nails and the spear in his side, and not only that cruelty, but the anguishing penalty made for my sins, that agony, undescribable by human tongue. I am responsible for it all. He died for my sins and for yours. See how that light shined even to those regions where Paul had hoped to go, and now Lydia's an ambassador. But think of that Philippian jailer. Think of the mercy, as no doubt the prisoners who had been incarcerated, hearing that man plead with the preacher, what must I do to be saved? Those prisoners thinking to themselves, this man who took such delight in our torment, now he himself wants mercy? My friend, I remind you, were it not for mercy, we would all be lost. I think of mercy. I think of immediacy. Paul didn't give them mere directions to the local synagogue. He did not wait until a cathedral be built. In that he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved here and now. In the dark shadows of a dungeon cell, a Philippian jailer became a child of God. I think of mercy and I think of immediacy. And I think of simplicity. See how that gospel message, it spread. The Philippian jailer, his family. But then there rose very soon after a great church in Philippi. And who's to say but what those same prisoners who heard the songs of Paul and Silas, who's to say that they themselves did not become the first members of the choir? And who's to say but what that Philippian jailer did not become one of the church leaders in that local congregation that soon rose there in that city? See how the gospel spread. But think upon the simplicity. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Oh, my friend, the great accountability that falls upon us, not just because we have the answer that everybody needs, but because it is such a simple message to share, and so oftentimes we remain silent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be. Oh, that you would just release that message again from your lips. What God might do. As you watch the light shine, as you watch the light spread, think of the culture. Someone might would say of Paul, this place is rich in culture. And to be able to communicate with our people, you've got to more understand our people. After all, let me remind you that Philippi is in fact named after the great leader, Philip of Macedon. Who, by the way, you know from your history, Paul, he was the father of Alexander the Great. My friend, truth transcends culture. Sometimes a person asks me, how do you share the gospel in the land of India where so many have never heard the name of Jesus Christ? My answer is this. You simply share that same message that changed your life, because it is yet the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Think of the truth transcends culture, and it always will. I think of the culture. Sometimes we think to ourselves, if I just had higher education, maybe I could better share the gospel. If I could just speak with an eloquence that I do not possess. My friend, the message is simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I told my daughter, told one of my daughters as we were going to a certain coffee shop, I said, I like this little cafe. I said, not only because of the coffee. I said, I like the egg bites. They have these little, I said, I like the, they call them egg bites. I said, especially that one, it has Gruyere cheese. But I told my daughter, I said, I like to go there and enjoy the coffee, but I like to even make my order and ask for the egg bite with the Gruyere cheese and roll my R's. My daughter said to me, she said, Daddy, she said, please don't do that. She said, in fact, she said, please don't ever do that again. I hope this is recorded. I want to send her a copy. Sometimes we think to ourselves, if I could just speak with the eloquence, if I could just roll my R's, my friend, if you would just release from your lips the message that still has the same amount of power in the darkest shadows as it did on the sunny riverbanks. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And then watch as the light shines and watch as it spreads. I think of the culture and I think of the coldness. Paul found himself addressing a rather hardened audience that day. The Philippian jailer, the fellow prisoners. But how wonderful to see the gospel tender the hearts of men. I was preaching in a maximum security state prison some years ago in South Carolina, my home state. And there was this one fella that was sitting on the front row with his arms crossed like this, making every attempt to stare me down as if to say, "Well, get it over with." He just stared me down. After I preached the message and gave the invitation, it was afterwards that he approached me. And he said to me, he said, "Last night, I said to my cellmate, I'm going to hell and there's nothing anybody can do about it." He said, "Preacher." And the tears began to well up in his eyes and leap paths on his cheeks. He said, "Preacher, I was wrong." I said, "Thank God you were wrong." He said, "I can't wait to call my son and tell him he's got a new daddy." My friend, just release the gospel message from your lips and tell others, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And watch the light as it shines and watch it as it spreads. You say, "Preacher, I would have liked to have been there on the sunny riverbank. I'd have liked to have lived in Spurgeon's day if I couldn't live in Paul's day. Preacher, I'd have liked to have lived during the days of revival there on the sunny riverbanks and heard." The gospel was no less powerful in the dark shadows of a dungeon cell as it was on the sunny riverbank. Can you not hear the pitiful cries from the darkness? Can you not see the piercing light of the gospel as it shines, as it spreads? Would you stand together with me this morning? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.
You know, he preached, I'll just say this. One time I went on visitation with a friend of mine back home. And he just didn't believe that somebody could just get saved like that. Just didn't believe it. So we went out and he had some friends and he took me to the hardest man he knew. And there I gave the gospel. His wife, who was saved, was crying. His kids were crying. And he wouldn't get saved. Now my friend told me afterwards, he said, when we walked out, I said, "See? See, look at that. I told you." So we're walking up the steps of an apartment complex. A lady's walking down. And I said, "Hi, how are you?" And she said, "Why are you so happy?" I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "Why are you so happy?" I said, "Would you really like to know?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Do you have a minute?" "Yes." We sat on the steps and I shared the gospel and she trusted Christ as her Savior. India is an extremely dark place, and I'm so grateful folks like the Jeff Coates are piercing the darkness there. But have you noticed how much darker our world is becoming? People say to me, "Yeah, you pastored in Philly. That's a tough area." I'll take Philly any day to give the gospel over Surrey County. Any day. I've never met more indifferent and cold people than in Surrey County. But they're here. There are people looking for answers. And God has put this church here to reach them. Can we stop with the excuses as to why we're not inviting people, why we are not giving the gospel, why we are not sharing? I was on a Zoom meeting about something else, and somebody brought up what a gospel presentation was. And what they shared was anything but the God. And I said, excuse me just trying to listen in. I said, I'm sorry. The gospel, by definition, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And you've said anything but that. Well, I know that's the strict definition. I said, that's the only definition. You and I, the waters are so muddied. I wonder, and understand this, we're just sinners saved by grace. I'm wondering how many churches in Surrey County this morning gave a clear presentation of the gospel. Not too many. Folks, God's called us. And us pushing it aside doesn't make us any less responsible. I was challenged this morning, Brother Jeffco. Thank you. And I know others were as well. Brother and Mrs. Jeffco will be back by their display here when we pray. There were some of you that used to give out tracts. There are some of you that used to knock on doors and you don't anymore. And you talk about the old days, or you talk about, well, when this was perfect. There's never a perfect time. There's just a perfect Savior. By the way, there's always a perfect time, and it's now. So we're going to dismiss, and I hope that you'll ask them. They have their book, Tales of India. It's $5. I have a copy. I've had a copy for a long time. I have enjoyed those stories. It's great. Hey, fathers, we've talked about devotions with your family. Those are great. They'll give scripture principles. It's a wonderful book. And if you'd like to learn more about the culture of India, it's a great book as well. So I would encourage you to get that. Tonight, 5:30, men's and ladies' prayer meetings, and at 6 o'clock, Brother Jeffco will be speaking to us again. And I'm telling you, you'll leave. My cup is full right now, but it's going to be overflowing after tonight. I hope you plan on being here. Let's go ahead and pray and be dismissed. Milton, would you pray for us, please? And Brother Jeffco, why don't you go back with Miss Samantha there so our folks can tell you how much they appreciate it and answer any questions. Milton, would you pray for us, please?